You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. The countdown to kickoff is on. We've got college football. We've got CFL football. We've got NFL football on a Sunday. And we actually had an exciting NFL football game last night. We're focusing in on the gridiron on the program today. Steve Merrill will join us. We'll take a look at the couple of games that are playing on the college grid tonight. We'll talk some NFL football with Merrill. We'll talk a little NASCAR with Merrill. Corey Parsons is going to step up and in. The fantasy exec will break it down with us from a DFS perspective. I've got some time to break down my DraftKings lineup for you as well. We're rolling the dice on a couple of instances, but you've got to take a chance if you want to become a millionaire. As the LA Rams improved to 2-1 last night, Thursday night football. Actually, a pretty dramatic football game when it was all said and done, sort of setting the stage for week three. We talked about this earlier in the week, and I talked about how critical week three is for various teams around the National Football League. I think we're in store for some entertaining football this week. You know, we are into week three right now. The offenses should be starting to click. We see collegiately going into week four, week five, etc. They start to click. I think, you know, the offense started to click. We saw the Rams and the 49ers go up and down the football field. You know, the alarm has to start to sound for the Cincinnati Bengals, for the New York Giants, for the Seattle Seahawks offense. So we'll talk about that from a betting and a fantasy perspective. NASCAR playoffs, they continue. They're at New Hampshire. Last week we told you to take Martin Truex Jr. He's plus 350 to win the Cup, and now he's only plus 175. He's already locked in his spot. Going into the next round, into the NASCAR playoffs. Unlike the golf playoffs, which nobody really understands and nobody really cares about, the NASCAR playoffs actually are pretty cool, and the format is pretty cool as well. We've got UFC on the board tonight. We've got Bellator tomorrow. I don't know, man. Everything's turned upside down. You know, the Rams are putting up 35 points a game. The UFC's fighting on Friday night. The Bellator's on Saturday. And the Bellator card might be better than the UFC card. Hey, 2017, baby. Actually, you know what? The Bellator card's not better than the UFC card. But it's a pretty good Bellator card. It's not one of the freak show Bellator cards. Pretty good Bellator card. We have a ton of UFC picks for you. And you can watch the prelims on the Fight Network, I believe at 8 o'clock Eastern time. They're in Japan tonight. So we got some late night action from Asia. And I got a bunch of picks for you a little bit later on in the program. So let's get right down to business right now. We're living in an era of fake outrage. You know, social media is a great thing when properly used. Yet social media is one of the most misused tools of our generation. As you know, you remember Twitter used to be about political revolutions and the Arab Spring, standing up to oppression. And now Twitter has basically been reduced to jackasses in mom's basement sending angry tweets to football players because they cost them their fantasy football matchup. As we saw over the week this week, in which the Denver Broncos' Brandon Marshall got all kinds of nasty tweets from people that were trying to tweet at the New York Giants' Brandon Marshall. And you know what? I'm a big Brandon Marshall fan. And in fact, both of them, okay? Both of them. But I love the response from the Denver Broncos, Brandon Marshall. He just played along, and he said, "You want to meet in the parking lot after, chump?" You know, he wasn't a big fan of this. Yet, the only thing lower than somebody, listen, trollers, you guys are the lowest life form as there is. They, you know, you are the reason why there are dictators and why Kim Jong-un exists, all right? That's why Kim Jong doesn't have the internet, because of trollers, essentially. But the only thing lower than an internet troller is an internet troller that's too stupid to even tweet the proper dude. It's like the other John Jones. There's a John Jones on Twitter, J-O-N Jones. He gets, every time John Jones, the fighter, does something stupid, John Jones gets attacked. Never mind the fact that, you know, John Jones on Twitter is a small white guy who's a computer technician. And, you know, John Jones in the UFC is not a small white guy who's a computer technician. People are so stupid, they can't even tell the difference between white and black anymore. You know, that's what we've arrived to, all right? And another thing that really upsets me, when a jackass is online and social media and stuff, they're always the first to throw stones, but they never give credit. It's crazy. If I tweet a negative story out on my Twitter account, it'll get a million retweets. If I tweet out some great story about a player, an inspirational kid or something like that, it gets nothing. People just don't care. And the fact of the matter is, people will never admit when they're wrong. That's one thing I will do. It's good for me. I'm rarely wrong. I'm wrong sometimes. But I'll admit when I'm wrong. And I'll admit when I'm wrong when I said that last night's game was going to be a steaming pile of garbage. Last night's football game was a very entertaining football game. And I think it's time for people to say, you know what? Maybe Jared Goff doesn't suck. You know, the rush to judgment all the time. I've been around long enough to remember when the first overall picks and quarterbacks weren't forced onto the football field immediately. They had an opportunity to learn. You know, Brett Favre didn't start right away out of the gate. You know, Troy Aikman got the crap kicked out of him. Peyton Manning sucked when he was a rookie. All right? But we live in an era right now with a bunch of jackasses that have never even played Madden, let alone played a real sport in their lives, are complete experts in everyone who sucks and who doesn't immediately. Well, you know what? For all the tweets and all the anger and all the vile that Jared Goff took, I'm not seeing all the love come back on the other side for a guy that's completing 70% of his passes, for a guy that's thrown 5 touchdowns and 1 interception. And it's not just a short dump-off type of stuff. He's averaging 10 yards per attempt. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was one of the people that was very, very high on Jared Goff. You know what? He reminded me of an Aaron Rodgers and a Matt Ryan type when he was at Cal. Last year, he struggled. But you know what? You think Jeff Fisher is going to make a quarterback better? You know, Jeff Fisher was struggling in his own right. Jeff Fisher was a good football coach in a yesteryear, but he's also always been a defensive guy. Jeff Fisher's not going to help a young quarterback. Sean McVay can, is, and will help a young quarterback. If you look at that Rams offense putting up 107 points right now, you know, are they what the record says they are? I don't know, man, but they're 2-1 right now, and they got a massive game with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think they win this game against the Cowboys coming up next week, but if they do, they're 3-1, and we got to start taking them seriously this year. But I'll tell you one thing that I am taking seriously. If you look at the Arizona Cardinals, they're an aging football team. You look at the Seattle Seahawks, they're a good football team. Their offense struggling right now. Aging football team with a year or two left with the window that they have. Everybody laughs at the Rams. Everybody laughs at Jared Goff. But don't look now. Sammy Watkins is catching deep balls. Cooper Kupp is the slot that guy. They've got speed. They've got Gurley. They've got a defense. And suddenly they got a little bit of confidence right now. I'm not saying the Rams are going to win a division this year. But it's starting to look like the Rams are the future of the NFC West. Now if we only can get people in L.A. to care. But I lived in L.A. before. And trust me, nobody loves a winner like they do in Los Angeles. And if the Rams start getting real good, people are going to be walking around once again singing, I love L.A. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a great show lined up for you. A lot of football talk, a lot of fantasy football talk. I've got a DraftKings segment. Going to break down my lineup in its entirety for you. We've got Corey Parsons stepping up and in. He's going to break down some DFS. I'll throw some players at him. We'll get his take on this. We're talking NFL from a betting perspective. But we've got a couple of interesting college football games on the board this evening. If you plan on laying it down, go to mybookie.ag to place your bets and win today. They've got live in-game betting to help you keep the edge going throughout the game. Join mybookie now. Get 100% deposit bonus. Use promo code GTD. You play, you win, you get paid. Check out mybookie.ag. Get 100% sign-up bonus right now. Promo code GTD. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now and talk about some of these games you can bet at over at mybookie.ag, including Virginia and Boise State. Steve Merrill, prosportsinfo.com, steps up. And what's up, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So we got a couple of college football games on the board here tonight. Not bad games, not great, but not bad. The Pac-12 game is an interesting one, and this is an intriguing one as well. First thing that catches my eye about Virginia and Boise State is the fact that Boise State are on an 0-10-1 run right now as home favorites on the blue field. Everybody talks about that turf all the time. And, ooh, the blue field, the blue field. Well, you're feeling blue if you're a Bronco backer when you leave that stadium. You know, 0-10-1, Steve. They haven't covered at home in 12 football games.
It's amazing because for about a decade, it was the best bet in all of college sports was to take Boise State as a home favorite. Throughout the 90s and the early 2000s, it was money in the bank. They covered over 60% of the time for over a decade, and that's exactly why it's not working anymore for a couple reasons. First of all, the odds makers finally started adjusting the lines more than they needed to. And then second of all, Boise's not quite as good as they were when they made that BCS run several years ago. So the combination has now created line value, I think, in this game tonight because I was shocked to see it below two touchdowns, and it's exactly the reason you're mentioning. They've been a money burner as a home favorite, but this is a bad spot for Virginia. Mediocre Cavaliers team that won just two games last year. They've already won two this season, but that came against William & Mary and a terrible UConn team last week. The only real opponent they played was Indiana. They lost by 17 at home as a small three-point dog. And now they're traveling for not only the first time of the season, but on a short week into the thin air and altitude in what is a difficult home field, especially when you're not used to playing there. You know, it's not like this is a conference game. They never play there. These teams played 2 years ago in Charlottesville, and Boise State won that game easily by 42 points in a pick'em game. So doesn't look like a good spot at all here, even though Boise State has been a money burner recently.
No, it doesn't. I agree with you. The number's going up a little bit, up to 13. Total's 51.5 right now. I think there's going to be some points put up on the board. Brett Rippon is expected back at quarterback. Kozar wasn't bad. You know, the kid will make a few mistakes, but he moved the ball pretty good for a backup quarterback, actually, at the collegiate level. But Rippon's back right now. Boise's bound to break out one of these nights, right? I mean, they're going to cover eventually at home. I agree with you. I don't think much of this Virginia football team.
Yeah, they threw 19 passes against New Mexico last week, only had 137 passing yards. So they're not the same team without Rippon. That will be an upgraded quarterback. And it was a difficult spot for them. Keep in mind, they were coming off that barn burner 47-44 loss against Washington State on the second Saturday. Had to turn around and play on just 4 days rest last Thursday. Now they have an extra day off with the Friday game. Meanwhile, Virginia's on the short week having to travel after playing last Saturday. So it's a much better setup this week for Boise.
Utah and Arizona. Arizona coming off a big win last week at UTEP. And it's funny because, the perception, at least among the gambling community, is not very high on Arizona. Mark Lawrence brought up he thinks this is probably Rich Rod's last year there. He needs to win games like this tonight if he wants to keep his job. And it's funny, I think the number's a little short here. I think Utah's a much better football team. And I don't know if it's because Arizona beat the crap out of UTEP last week, but UTEP might be the worst team in college football.
Yeah, they put up 125 points combined against Northern Arizona and UTEP. Not really saying much, as they were four touchdown favorites in both games. Their showing against Houston was respectable. They lost 19-16. But, you know, the question is, can they put up the points like they did against the really bad defenses, or are they going to struggle more like they did against Houston's D a couple weeks ago? Utah's taken a pretty big step up in class here overall, though. They played North Dakota in the opener. That was not North Dakota State. That was North Dakota. And then they played San Jose State, who's a pretty bad team as well, last week. Nice win against BYU on the road.
Yeah, that BYU game on the road in the Holy War, that's a big rivalry game.
It was.
You know, they're a mature team.
Only a five-point favorite on the road and won by six. So pretty much played out like it should.
And let me ask you, too, from a coaching perspective, you know, Kyle Whittingham's one of the best coaches in college football. And then Kyle Whittingham against Rich Rodriguez. I'll take Kyle Whittingham. But what's amazing to me is Arizona have actually performed well against these guys. They're 4-1 outright in the last five.
And it's sitting on that key number of 3.5. You know, so if you're going to take Utah here, you're laying that extra hook, which is always dangerous in football. 3, such a key number. I think the odds makers have that priced in for a reason.
You know, I was all fired up for this, and, you know, I do my research. So I was reading the local Utah newspapers and the Arizona stuff, and Arizona's given Utah problems. Like, Utah lost last year, the last time they came here, I think, and they got knocked out of the top 10 in the process when they did it. For some reason, it has been one of these weird games for Utah that they've sort of struggled. I just think they're a better football team. What about the total, though? It's 60, 59.5, 60. Is it too high?
It's come down a little bit. I saw it as high as 62 earlier this week. Now it's sitting around 60. I think the thought there is that, you know, when Arizona stepped up in class, they only managed 16 points, but they held Houston to 19. Meanwhile, Utah's only game stepping up in class was a 19-13 game. You know, so both teams only played one good team this year, and that was in week two on September 9th, and the games totaled just 32 and 35 total points.
All right, here's an interesting game, and you write about this over at Covers Experts, the lines to watch throughout the week. And you called this because the number came down a little bit. It was at 7. Now it's down to 6. Hawaii at Wyoming. I just have a hard time trusting Hawaii on the road here. So, you know, there was a ton of hype about Josh Allen coming into the year. They fell flat at Iowa in week one. That was a trendy pick. They got punched in the mouth. You know, that game against Oregon, pretty disappointing the way they got run out of their own stadium on that Saturday night. Now they've got a game against a winnable opponent here, but you think it's a dangerous game here for Wyoming?
Yeah, I liked it more at +7 when I put this out on Monday night, Tuesday morning at covers.com. As you said, Gabe, it's now down to +6. So this was a game to play early, as I thought it was on that key number. But I still like the setup here. I actually went against Wyoming last week with the best bet for my clients on Oregon, an easy blowout winner. I'm not big on Wyoming this year. As you mentioned, as I mentioned also in the article, quarterback Josh Allen has underperformed against the two FBS opponents he's faced this year. I'm not sure Hawaii is at that same level, obviously. But I do like the fact that the Rainbow Warriors have a week off coming here, and they've played on the road a few times already this season. So I think this trip is more manageable than it normally would have been for Hawaii.
All right, here's a game I wouldn't expect us to be talking about, Ohio and Eastern Michigan. Some action going on here. Eastern Michigan -2.5. Totals 52.5. I tell you what, Eastern Michigan have really turned this program around. I remember years ago, they were perennially 0-12, 1-11. You know, they were close to shutting this thing down. They were having a hard time getting the minimum NCAA attendance requirements up there at the stadium. Now they're going to bowl games. They have a fun offense, and they beat a Big Ten team for the first time ever. Although, you know, Rutgers should have their Big Ten privileges revoked, to be honest with you. They're not a real Big Ten team. They should be in the AAC, you know, in my opinion. But nevertheless, and then you got Frank Solich and the Bobcats here. What's your take?
Well, I think we got a little bit of a coaching edge with Ohio, although they are doing a nice job at Eastern Michigan. As you mentioned, 7-6 last year, made their first bowl game since the 1980s. However, this team is still just 16-47 straight up the past 5 years. So they did have a winning season, off to a decent start this year. But keep in mind, this is a big revenge game for Ohio. They actually lost as an 8-point home favorite last year. It's sitting at 2.5 earlier this week when I wrote the article. I said, wait on it. You might be able to get a +3. I still would like to see +3 before pulling the trigger. I'm not sure it's going to show, though, as it's been pretty steady all week at 2.5.
Yeah, it's not moving. Yeah, it's a tough football game for me. I would give the slight lean to Ohio here as well. I was on Purdue against Ohio, but Ohio, Frank Solich wins games like this. That's what he does. You know, he wins games like this. All right, an intriguing football game here is San Diego State. And if San Diego State just roll here, then, you know, these guys are just machines. They already are machines. They get the win outright on the road against Arizona State. And real tough to play against Stanford the following week, especially you're a Mountain West team. You just beat a Pac-12 team on the road. Certain letdown. You have Stanford coming off the USC loss. They're getting 9 points. Spread comes down a little bit. And San Diego State find a way to win the game outright. And we know how dominant they've been in conference play. So this is a conference game. They're 16-2 straight up their last 18 conference games. And they're destroying Mountain West competition.
Yeah, I would like to get a few more points with Air Force. It is on that key number of 3.5 right now. When these teams last played 2 years ago, December of 2015, San Diego State won by exactly 3 as a 3.5-point favorite. So I do lean towards Air Force and also like the fact that San Diego State's coming off, as you mentioned, back-to-back underdog wins against Pac-12 teams, and now they're a road favorite. Definitely not a good scheduling situation, even for a conference game. What concerns me, though, is that they know how to stop the run because they face it all the time in practice, and they're allowing just 92 rushing yards per game. That gets me looking at the under 47.5, actually, in this game. Two run-based offenses, both teams face it all the time in practice. This is a lot like when military teams play each other. You know, San Diego State's not a military academy, but they play a lot like one with that run offense. And, of course, that's all Air Force does. And we see a lot of times that Army-Navy game go under the total for that reason. I think the same thing happens here.
Both teams played physical games last week, Air Force at Michigan and Stanford at SDSU. All right, let's switch gears to the National Football League. Seattle and Tennessee, I mentioned a coaching mismatch, at least I thought, in Kyle Whittingham versus Rich Rodriguez. To me, it doesn't come much bigger of a coaching mismatch here than Pete Carroll versus Mike Mularkey. The only thing is, Pete Carroll has an offensive line that plays like Mularkey.
Yeah, you know, and we always talk about be careful about week one, and we saw the reversal last week. You know, Jacksonville had won outright as a dog. Tennessee had lost outright as a favorite. Tennessee goes in as just a 1-point road favorite, and they blow out Jacksonville. That was a good contrarian call last week. Seattle, meanwhile, did not play much better. Even though they won after losing to Green Bay, they weren't very impressive against one of the worst teams in the league in San Francisco. And one thing you got to be careful with here at this point of the season are offenses that are struggling. You know, we've seen it with the Bengals. We've seen it with the Giants. They struggled both weeks. Now Seattle has struggled both weeks offensively. I think Tennessee holds the offensive edge here, and it's sitting on that key number of 2.5. Some spots have gone to 3. It's strange to see the Titans as the favorite in this game, but they probably deserve to be so right now.
On the other side of the equation, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, 13-3-1 as an underdog in his career. Pete Carroll, 13-2-2, last 17 as a dog when coming off of a win. And, you know, I've got to tell you, see, especially you look at the way the Rams went up and down the field on the 49ers, it makes you wonder how bad Seattle's offense really is. I mean, you look at the Packers. Okay, they couldn't move the ball on the Packers. And I know the Falcons are an elite offense, but the Packers got carved up by the Falcons. And then conversely, you look, they couldn't move the ball on the 49ers, and then the Rams carved up the 49ers. That's not a good look for Seattle.
Right, and if you just, I know it's only two games, but those two teams have allowed 23 and 5.4 yards per play. Seattle's averaged 4.4 yards per play and 10 points in those two games.
All right, the Raiders and the Redskins, should be some points put up on the board of this one. The total's been 54 all week, up to 54.5 right now. Raiders are laying 3. You know, to me, this is just a football game that the Redskins always find a way to lose. Kirk Cousins hasn't stepped up in these spots.
Right. Of course, it's, you know, Oakland traveling from West Coast to East Coast, but it's an 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific kickoff Sunday night, so it shouldn't be any factor there. They were at home last week against the Jets, an easy blowout win. And an impressive win against Tennessee. I think Tennessee is going to be a solid team this year. So that road win in week one did surprise me when they went into Tennessee, into Nashville, and won outright as a 3-point dog. Redskins coming off back-to-back underdog games. Last week was another one of those line reversals. I mentioned the Jacksonville-Tennessee game. Same thing with the Rams-Redskins. The Redskins would have been favored in that game in week one. They ended up being a 3-point dog in week two and won the game outright. So I don't read too much into that. This is the biggest step up in class they've had so far this season. I agree there should be some points scored. Hurricane Maria is going to skirt around the Atlantic probably on Monday and Tuesday, so I don't think there'll be any weather issues here on Sunday night, although there could be some rain on Monday, but keep an eye on that. But it looks like Sunday night should be clear for the weather.
And finally, in closing, NASCAR playoffs have begun. The playoffs started the way the regular season went with a Martin Truex victory. We talked about it before the chase began. He was plus 350 to win the Monster Cup. Checking the future odds right now, he's down to plus 175. He's already locked up his spot, obviously, into the next stage. He's also favored to win this race again, plus 275. Is he really just going to run the table and win every week?
Well, there's absolutely no value in those future odds because, I mean, obviously you don't have to win at Miami. You just have to be the top finisher out of the remaining four. But, you know, he'll be 3 or 4 or 5 to 1 to win the Miami race at best. You know, and normally those guys finish top 3 or top 5. So you could almost get a better price on a top 3 or top 5 finish in Miami instead of playing them now. But he has pretty much locked in to the finals. And he was the best driver here at New Hampshire. This is how good he's been this year, Gabe. His best finish over the previous 6 races had been 7th and 8th, and he finished and won the race. Finished 3rd, but led the most laps, 137 earlier this year. Denny Hamlin won the race. And Kyle Busch led the second most laps. It was another typical Kyle Busch 12th place finish after being one of the strongest cars.
Yeah, you know what? Looking at Kyle Busch, he had a tough time last week. You talked about the garage change. He's going to be in the mix here. He's plus 3-3, and you know he needs to race well here. He's won here twice before. He's got 9 top 5 finishes here, and of course the guy that has to catch all of our eyes, Steve, and you mentioned him, is Denny Hamlin, plus 550, 3-time winner here, including this year's race.
And they're teammates, and they're both Toyotas, just like Martin Truex. The three drivers we just mentioned are all basically teammates in Toyota. It's really been that simple this year. I like Kyle Busch this weekend. I think he steps up with the pressure on and gets a win. The pit crew change from the 19 team does concern me a bit, though, but they've had an extra week to fix some of those issues.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. He's also one of the cover's experts. Steve, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with his great stuff with Steve. We're going to come back. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk some DFS football. One of the best in the business. The fantasy exec, Corey Parsons, steps up and in.
In a sport where going 3 out of 10 will put you in the Hall of Fame, it goes without saying that playing baseball is pretty hard. That's why major leaguers are always looking for any edge that they can get. Daily Fantasy Baseball isn't any different. DailyRoto.com's premium MLB Daily Fantasy Sports service has been cited repeatedly by the world's best players as the service they trust the most for their information edge. Visit DailyRoto.com/premium and enter promo code DAILY for a special discount on all the information that you can handle.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. I'm fired up to talk some fantasy football right now with one of the best in the business. You got to be the best if you're called the Fantasy Executive. And the Fantasy Exec actually has been kicking it with Sports Illustrated, SI.com, great stuff. Corey Parson, Fantasy Sports Network's very own, steps up right now. What's going on, Corey?
What's going on, Gabe? Always good to talk football with you. I think the last time we talked, we were still drafting these teams. But now we get to see what they look like on the field. And, you know what, so far some pretty surprising results.
Yeah, you know, last week, five of the top nine running backs drafted in ESPN season-long leagues had 30 yards or less. It's been one of those years so far, man. You know, look at the top quarterback performances of the year. Alex Smith in week one, Sam Bradford week one, Trevor Siemian week two. Jared Goff has been solid, five touchdowns, only one interception. Then the big name guys, you know, last week I had Jameis Winston on a season-long team. They put up 29 points, only had 12 fantasy points. It's been a strange fantasy year so far, but I get the feeling, Corey, that the water's going to find its level this week, and some of the guys, the big-name guys that haven't put numbers up, I think they do this week. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think we're starting to see some people trending back towards the top, some of the guys at the top of the draft board trending back towards them. I think that D.C. offense finally gets it rolling and going against that Raiders secondary. Even last week, we saw Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze all play as QB1s in week two after not being in the QB1 conversation in week number one. So, yeah, you know, a lot of these surprises start from once defenses get a hold of what's going on, you'll see the cream start to rise to the top, my man.
I feel smart so far this year, Corey, although I should, and I'm delusional. But I've avoided the Steelers. I didn't want any piece of Le'Veon Brown. I think Big Ben Roethlisberger's always a hit away from retirement at this point in time. But, I wish he wasn't so expensive over at DraftKings, but I do think Le'Veon's going to step up this week against the Bears. I think Bell breaks loose this week.
You know how the narrative goes, and it's not only a narrative, there's a lot of truth to it, of how Ben Roethlisberger and that Pittsburgh Steelers team playing on the road, in order to go in there and escape and get out of there with a W and get back to the Philly confines, this is the week that you just pound the rock with Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell not showing up at training camp, coming in, you know, coming in right before the season starts. Le'Veon Bell is still top running back in the NFL. But right now, averaging under 4 yards a carry, taking a little while to get it going. But I think he starts to shake the rust off. And, you know, they handle that Bears team, getting in, get a W, let Le'Veon run the football, get his legs under himself, and then that offense gets the rolling again.
Isaiah Crowell was a trendy player coming into the year. Hasn't really gotten a ton of touches. They're playing in a football game. I don't understand why they're favored, and I think the Colts are actually going to win this game. But I think it's going to be a close game, and I think it's going to be a higher scoring game. I wouldn't be surprised to see both offenses be pretty productive in this game. I know Crowell is a trendy player once again this week, but I'm a trendy guy, Corey, and I'm buying into the hype this week on Isaiah. What's your take on him against the Colts?
I've been an Isaiah Crowell guy. I talked him up big time in draft season. I had him going into the year. I had him as a top 10 fantasy running back. And listen, these first couple of weeks, I think we've seen poor game script kind of be a thing that's hampered Isaiah Crowell than Deshaun Kaiser getting that 1 yard touchdown run. But what I think we got on tap this week, I think it's a good matchup. I think they're going to feed the Crow this week. It should be the Crow show out there in Indianapolis with the Browns versus the Colts. Also, it came out earlier this week that Crow approached Hugh Jackson and was like, got to get me the ball more, get me involved more. That big offensive line, that young quarterback, no real reason to fool around right now. Give Isaiah Crowell the ball. Let him go get some touches. Listen, success breeds confidence. Let him get successful against that Colts defense.
What's your take on Amir Abdullah?
Not really a guy I fool with too much. Almost cussed just now. Excuse me. Not really a guy I fool with too much, Gabe.
No, me too. I've been negative about this guy. But the thing is, when he's on the field, man, he shows you those flashes.
Here's the thing about it. I was going to say, not a guy I really fool with too much, but you know what, he is showing a little leg right now, and I'm peeking across the bar to see what's going on with him, to be honest with you. you know, with in this running back landscape the way it's shaped right now, this Detroit Lions team has a very big test coming up this upcoming weekend. I think the Atlanta Falcons are still the class of the NFC, mainly because of their balance on offense. And if we see Detroit come in here and pull out a victory, they're going to have to use that same balance Atlanta has used to rise to the top of the rank. And if Amir Abdullah can get it rolling, I think it could be interesting because they can throw the football very well. Matt Stafford is playing at a very high level right now at the quarterback position. So if we get a healthy Abdullah, I will be honest, he is starting to be a little bit more intriguing to me than he ever has been.
Yeah, and I think this game's going to be a track meet, so I could just see him making a couple of big plays and getting some opportunities. Everybody's jumping on the C.J. Anderson bandwagon right now. I'm a big C.J. Anderson fan, and you know he's such a good reality player. Forget about fantasy. He's so freaking important to the Denver Broncos. You see what he brings to the table when he's healthy. But this Buffalo Bill defense is for real, man. They're hard to run on, dude. I'm not in a hurry to play C.J. Anderson this week, but he is cheap. What's your take on C.J.?
Another guy I wasn't touching coming into the year, but I'm very impressed with how he started off this season. They have revamped that O-line, so I think C.J. Anderson is in a good spot. I think he's going to be heavily owned in DFS contests. But like you mentioned, you made a great point about that Buffalo Bill D-line. They have come up strong so far this season. I see a lot of people picking Denver and Survivor this week. I'm like that road team going into Buffalo coming off that big win. That's one right there that I wouldn't feel too happy if I had to put my Survivor pool season on this Denver Broncos team. But listen, C.J. Anderson, nice balance on offense. Trevor Siemian is very efficient. I mean, the offense is very simple. It's C.J. Anderson, it's Emmanuel Sanders, and Marius Thomas.
All right, let's look at the Seahawks right now. This offense has been putrid through 2 weeks. It's an opportunity right now against the Tennessee Titans. You know, the Seahawks, they never look good early in the season. Everybody writes them off, and then they start to play better as the year goes on in the last 8 games of the year. But with that being stated, it's a pretty big football game for them. They've got nothing going offensively through 2 games. 1 touchdown through 2 games. If you can't move the ball against Tennessee, who the hell can you move the ball against? What do you make of Seattle here?
Yeah, I think Seattle's in a little bit of trouble. Listen, but we say that each and every year. They've been saved because they play in that weak division where Arizona was the only team that could put up a fight, and Arizona's not even capable of doing that anymore. Go make sure to see there was a team when they get a little bit deeper into the season. They didn't really too start to get it rolling. This team's had a bad old line for years now. It's very poor this year. But I think Pete Carroll just banks on these guys meshing, the O-line coming together at the right time. Listen, Tennessee is a very trendy pick this week. I think this is a big spot for Seattle. You want to see Russell Wilson play better. I mean, that offense is pitiful in general, like you said. Not to mention Jimmy Graham. This Graham thing has not worked out. I think maybe we got to a situation where we've seen that Wilson has lost confidence in Graham. So interesting to see how it plays out. I got Graham in a ton of season-long leagues, and I'm like, that's the 5th, 6th-round draft pick I should have held on to because this guy is not getting it done consistently, and more than likely he's going to be out this week.
Yeah, he's killing me, man. He got 4 carries, 4 receptions, and 9 yards on the year. Yet Russell Wilson's going to be running for his life in this game. He's going to have to make some plays. I'm taking a shot, and I don't think anybody's going to own Doug Baldwin this week. I'm taking a shot with Doug Baldwin.
I like the Doug Baldwin call this week. No Graham out there. Paul Richardson, pedestrian, the best. I like the Doug Baldwin call a lot. Like you said, that's a play that nobody's really going to be on because how poor this offense has looked to start the season.
You know who nobody's going to have the balls to take? Andy Dalton. There's a lot of talk about A.J. Green. I want to do it, Corey. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm not going to give it in my lineup on the show. But, man, how many people are going to own Andy Dalton? Like 0.0%?
You're going to be the only person to own Andy Dalton. So it's the ultimate contrarian play this week. Obviously a very tough matchup, but listen, it could lead to some that garbage time production role. Going to be interesting to see if we see Joe Mixon start to get involved more with the new OC. At least that's what we would like to see, you know, those of us in the fantasy spot. But yeah, Andy Dalton's been bad to the point where people are calling for A.J. McCarron to take his job. I think the guy that more than likely needs to leave his job is the head coach up there, Marvin Lewis. But the dollar store Bengals do stuff like this. They're the 5-and-dime of the NFL. It's kind of exactly what they deserve.
I think they're going to force the ball in A.J. Green here. I think he's going to get a million looks and a ton of touches.
My guy on the fantasy football frenzy, Matt Medica, said he looked for 19 targets for A.J. Green this week.
Yeah, exactly. I really do. I think they might give him reverses, give him the ball. He basically was the one that got Zampezi fired. And I'll tell you what, if Bob McAdoo doesn't change things pretty soon, you know Spagnuolo's going to be the coach of this team. Throwing Eli Manning under the bus after the game wasn't a good look, but the Giants haven't been a good look. And you look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia have allowed big plays in their first two games of the year, both to Kansas City and to Washington. But Philadelphia's also gotten after the quarterback pretty good this year. They've got 8 sacks. Eli's been sacked 8 times. The Giants' offensive line is putrid. I don't trust Odell here. I sure as hell don't trust Eli. There's no one to take in the Giants in DFS, in my opinion.
No, I think it's tough to roll the Giants out there with anybody besides Odell Beckham, because really they're going to need him to make a play if they expect to win this football game. They are in must-win mode right now. They go down to Philly and drop to 0-3. That would be 3 losses, 2 in the division, 3 in the conference. You can almost kiss playing deep into the year goodbye in the meaningful games. McAdoo, like you said, he needs to be gone. Reese needs to be gone, because the way that offensive line is built out, that's not going to cut it. Brandon Marshall is washed. You know what I'm saying? You look at these players and this on this offense, now you're going to have more than likely Janoris Jenkins leaning toward doubtful for being out this week. The Eagles could drop the hammer on this team, but still, Carson Wentz started off hot last year. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, Philadelphia, I'm a big Wentz fantasy fan, actually. I really am. And how about Zach Ertz, man? A little bit expensive this week, but the dude's just money. And it's pretty clear he is Carson Wentz's favorite target.
He's the number one option in the passing game. He's the guy, maybe not the number one option in the passing game, but he's the guy that Ertz is the guy that Wentz looks for in the big spot. Plus, we've already seen tight ends tear the Giants up this year. Smart money's going to be on Ertz.
Sam Bradford, I've been critical of Bradford over the years. I called him soft. You know, Bradford had made the most money and produced the least wins in NFL history. But he sort of started to shed a reputation a little bit last year, completing 70% of his passes. And then a great start this year. And Bradford's stock was really rising. And, you know, the pot shots weren't being taken anymore at him for being soft or dinking and dunking. People were saying, wow, Bradford's playing elite football at the quarterback position. And then here we are right now. Now, listen, you got to walk a mile in a man's shoes to, you know, before you judge, etc. So I don't know the pain he's in. But I can tell you what, the Vikings behind the scenes were a little disappointed. Didn't suck it up last week. And here we are again. I'm getting the feeling he's not going to play, dude. You know, and I was looking at Stephon Diggs, and I'm thinking if Bradford plays, Diggs versus Tampa is a nice play here at 6,500. I can't do it. I don't trust Bradford. I don't think he's going to play.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he may have already been ruled out for this week. If not, it's definitely trending in that direction. Yeah, this is how interesting is this? Nobody was really on Sam Bradford, but everybody loved the pieces in the offense. The kid Cook is great. I think he leads the NFL in rushing if things shake out right. Diggs was a guy that could flirt with 100 catches. Adam Thielen also getting big numbers, good draft stock. You see a lot of people rostering him in the DFS.
And it all went to hell the next week. It all went to hell.
And then it all went to hell on the right knee or the left knee, whichever knee it is, of Sam Bradford. Looking tough right now. Hard to get those guys in your lineup. I will say this, though. Who would have ever thought 2 weeks ago that Sam Bradford can be more or less out indefinitely with this knee thing, and Teddy Bridgewater at some point would be the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings? Nobody saw that coming.
Crazy world we live in, man. All right, quickly, we've got about a minute here. Pryor and Crowder, Redskins, they haven't really turned it up a notch. It's an opportunity, the highest total on the board this week. They're both pretty cheap. I was sort of taking a look at Crowder at $4,900, 7 catches on 12 targets. And is this the week, do you think, Terrell Pryor, is he going to step up and make a big play?
This is the week where the D.C. offense shows up. Kirk Cousins in that game, getting it warmed up a little bit, trying to run the football also. But this is the week against that Oakland Raiders secondary that we see the D.C. offense that we've expected. Crowder gets his, Pryor gets his, Kirk Cousins gets his in this football game this upcoming weekend. I think we'll see the D.C. offense start to turn it up and do it fantasy on his thing. Maybe even Jordan Reed if he can get his ass on the field.
Yeah, he's another one. Yeah, he's the Sam Bradford of quarterbacks. Crowder, $4,900. I think it's a little value there. Great stuff, Corey. Thanks for the time, man.
All right, Kate.
There's Corey Parson. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I'll lay out my DraftKings lineup for you.
Hey, fantasy nerds, here's a question for you. What do mozzarella sticks and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network have in common? They're both awesome apps. But seriously, download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app right now and get all your favorite shows and fantasy advice at the touch of a tiny icon on your screen. Snapchat and Instagram aren't going to help you win a fantasy football title, but the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app will. So go get it now on Google Play and iTunes.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to kickoff. All right, we had an explosive game to kickstart week three. I actually think scoring is going to go up a little bit. The average scoring, the teams are averaging about 20 points a game, only 20.8 or something like that. Last year, I think they were averaging about 22.1 at this point in time. So scoring is somewhat down, but I think the teams are going to start to dial it up a notch. So let's jump in and give you our DraftKings lineup. I'll be honest with you. I'm rolling the dice this week, guys, all right? I'm rolling the dice. But you got to remember, when you're playing this stuff, you're predicting what's going to happen, not what's already happened. You can't be a day late and a dollar. Oh, look at Tariq Cohen. Let's take him. You know, you were a day late and a dollar short, all right? You were a day late and a dollar short. So let's jump in right now, and let's start off with the quarterback position. This is the highest total of the week, and I understand why. I do believe this game is going to be a track meet. I think $6,800 is more of a fair price for Derek Carr. How's he performing this year off the injury? I don't know. He's 45-60 with 5 touchdown passes. He's got 0 interceptions. His quarterback rating is 126.5. I'm not sure, but I think that's pretty good, isn't it? I don't know. Quarterback rating of 100. I heard that's pretty good. As I stated, I think there's going to be a lot of points put up on the board. He's going to throw the football down the field. I wouldn't be surprised if Carr threw for 4 touchdown passes in this football game. Running back, we're taking Isaiah Crowell. Now, I know. Isaiah Crowell is a trendy player coming into the year, and it's dangerous. I don't like getting guys on really bad football teams. But with that being stated, this Cleveland Brown-Indianapolis Colt game is going to be a close one. It's going to be a competitive one. Isaiah Crowell is going to get many more touches in this game than he has so far this year. He's spoken to Coach Jackson about this. He said, listen, you got to give me the rock more, man. I got to get a little bit more involved. Here, I think it starts right here, and I think he won't be as heavily owned actually because of the soft numbers that he's put up so far this year. We're rolling the dice, man, against the Colt defense, ranked 21st in fantasy points allowed to the running backs through 2 games. If Isaiah Crowell can't get it going now, he ain't ever getting it going. Give me Isaiah Crowell. Rolling the dice with Amir Abdullah. Call this a gut pick, but I like the way Abdullah is playing right now. And I know he doesn't catch a ton of passes out of the backfield. But this game against the Falcons is going to be a high-scoring one. And we saw the success that the Green Bay running backs had against Atlanta. You know, yeah, Matt Stafford throws the ball a lot, but they actually mix it up a little bit. 17 carries last week. I know they had the lead. But nevertheless, I think Abdullah is going to make a big play or two. And I'm predicting an Abdullah touchdown, maybe 2 touchdowns for Abdullah. But I'll be honest with you. You know, I didn't really like the running backs this week. Listen, Elliott's not in a Millionaire Miracle because he's playing Monday. I do like Le'Veon Bell, but he was $8,200. I'm looking at C.J. Anderson, but he's playing against a good Buffalo Bill defense. Like, you go down the list, Kareem Hunt was too expensive. Melvin Gordon's banged up. I didn't mind Melvin Gordon, so I decided to go cheap with the running backs and spend at the wide receiver position, guys, because it's a pass-happy league. Give me Michael Crabtree. You know, I think it's clear right now the whole debate between Cooper and Crabtree when it comes to the Raiders, who you should take, that debate's over, okay? It's pretty clear that Carr throws to Crabtree in the red zone. Dude's already got 3 touchdowns on the year. He's a monster. And, you know, Breland and Josh Norman should be better than they are, but they're just not. You can make plays in the air against the Washington Redskins. I expect Crabtree to get at least 1 touchdown in this football game. I've got high hopes for Crabtree here. $7,400. I'm going to spend the money. A.J. Green. I wanted to really be ballsy and take Andy Dalton, too. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm going to take Andy Dalton and pair him up with A.J. Green on another one, and we're going to have a lot of money to spend elsewhere. I probably should have done it here, but I really like Carr this week. But I'll tell you what, A.J. Green was the one that basically got the OC fired in Zampezi. A.J. Green said, you got to get me the ball more, and the Cincinnati Bengals want to get him the ball more. I'm not sure the Green Bay Packers are going to be able to stop him. And I know this is crazy talk, and I know I've always said, hey, I can't bet on the Bengals ever, but I think the Bengals are going to give the Packers all they can handle, actually, in this game. And I think A.J. Green is going to get 2 touchdowns, all right? He's going to have a massive game. I'm stepping up, man. I'm pulling the trigger. I'm pulling. And the good thing about this is, if Green Bay gets up, Cincinnati have to throw. If Andy Dalton really sucks, they will put McCarron in. So A.J. Green's going to get his opportunities in this football game. Here's a contrarian play. I know how bad Seattle's offense has been, but I think there's going to be some points put up on the board against the Tennessee Titans. I'd be shocked if this was a 6-3 football game. And I'm going to take Doug Baldwin. Russell Wilson really doesn't have a lot of people to throw the football to be honest with you. And he's going to be running for his life. He's going to find Baldwin down the field. They haven't put up big numbers so far this year, but nevertheless, Baldwin still gets his looks, all right? He's only caught 10 passes, but he's been targeted 13 times. If you look in the first game, they were terrible. They couldn't get it going. Week two, they played in the rain. I think in this game, they're not going to have a choice to get it going because I think Tennessee's going to score on them. So I think Doug Baldwin is a nice contrarian play. This is not a contrarian play. Zach Ertz has just been freaking money, man. Oh, and for the record, the Titans give up the fifth most fantasy points to the wide receiver position as well, as far as Doug Baldwin is concerned. Zach Ertz, I don't like spending this much money on tight ends, but holy crap, man. Zach Ertz, zero touchdowns on the season, but he's got 13 catches on 18 targets. He is Carson Wentz's favorite target. And the Giants, you can pass on the Giants, specifically to the tight end position. The Giants have not been good at tight ends. They've given up the fifth most fantasy points to tight ends through two games this year. Our flex, Mohamed Sanu. All right, if you look at Taylor Gabriel, he's not really a big part of this new offense that the Falcons have right now, yet Sanu is. You need to double-team Julio Jones. And you see that the Falcons are trying to force the ball into Julio and get him the ball more, which is opening up a lot of space for Sanu right now. He's already got 11 catches on the year. He's been targeted 15 times in two games. This is going to be a higher-scoring game. I think Sanu can have a nice 6, 7, 8 catch, maybe a touchdown performance in this football game. And finally, in closing, my defense, the Jets. Fireman Ed, J-E-T-S, Jets. Yeah, that's right, I said the Jets. You know why? Because it's Jay Cutler. And I think that Jay Cutler is going to fumble. I think he's going to bumble. Let's say that Jay Cutler has an interception and a fumble, but the Dolphins still win an extremely close football game. I know we're rolling the dice this week, guys, but I actually have a feeling it's going to be a good lineup, and I like each player in the individual matchup that we're getting here right now. Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Time for our plays today. Let's start off with the NCAA. We've got a college football doubleheader on tap this evening. Let's start off with Virginia and Boise State. I think there's going to be some points put up on the board in this contest. Brett Rypien expected back at quarterback for Boise State tonight. Virginia gave up 34 points to Indiana on their home field when they played at Virginia. Virginia's offense a little bit better than it has been in past years. I think they'll be able to put up enough points to help this game get there. I'd lay the wood. I don't think much of Virginia. I'd lay the wood in this game with the Broncos, but they're 0-10-1, guys, against the spread in their last 11 home games. Been 12 home games since they've covered, but I do think they're going to win the football game, and I know the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are going to beat the Ottawa Redblacks this evening. Normally, I wouldn't lay minus 185 on a Moneyline football parlay, but you know what? I'm going to do it tonight because I know we're going to win this two-team Moneyline parlay. So give me Boise State to win the game. Give me the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to win the game. Utah Utes. You figure that Kyle Whittingham against Rich Rod would be a big coaching mismatch, but it's pretty crazy. Rich Rod and Arizona are actually 4-1 straight up and against the spread the last five against the Utes. Did you say Utes? Yes, I said Utes. Give me the Utes. -3.5. USC from Japan tonight. OSP. He's -500 favorite. He's probably going to win and fight against Okami, but I got to go over 1.5 rounds, -188. I just got to hope Okami doesn't get knocked out right away. Andrade and Gadella, man, two Brazilian killers, these chicks. Let's go over 2.5 rounds, though. Formiga and Sasaki, over 2.5 rounds. We're going to take Saki to beat Henrik da Silva, the glory light heavyweight champion, making his UFC debut. I think he's going to win this fight, minus 175. And finally, Nakamura versus Murano, over minus 2.5. There better not be a lot of knockouts or else I'm in trouble. May the winners be yours.